Thank you so much, Nico. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. Not just any house of the Lord, but to be in this house of the Lord. I mean, we can be many different places this Sabbath day, but I believe that the Lord has brought us here for a very special purpose. Before I forget, I believe the youth also have a gathering, an outing this evening, and so if you're in the high schoolish or above age group, make plans for that. I think they're having a little bit of a hike and bonfire. As we get into the word of the Lord, let us bow our heads. Loving Father, you who's preparing a place for us as we speak, you who desires to have us be with you where you are, we come to you in Jesus' name. And in his blood, we plead and claim your promises. You've promised to speak to us. You've promised to work in our lives. And this morning, we welcome your desires in our lives. So speak your word, and may your spirit move in Jesus' name. Amen. Business unusual. You know, we like normal. You know that? We like where we normally sit at church. We like where we normally sit at home. We go to the same aisles at the grocery stores. We like normal. Week to week, we like a normal time or a normal day at work. We like a normal month where X amount of money comes in at the end of the month. We like a normal summer or a somewhat normal winter or a normal spring. And when things are not so, we wonder what's going on. Normal. Not too sure I'm crazy about normal. What's the name of the group of people that we belong to? Like, this place is called a church, okay? And the church, it's an interesting word. The church, it comes from the Greek word ecclesia. In Spanish, that would be iglesia. What does ecclesia mean? It means called out. Called out from what? Called out from darkness, called out from the world, called out from sin. That is what the church is. You know, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. But where? But on a lampstand, and it gives light to who? To all who are in the house, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Why are we called out of the world? So that through Christ we may shine in this world. Amen? And as we shine, as we are with Christ, now the whole world is illuminated by the light that Christ grants to us, Jesus himself. Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Did you know? There's been some light going on in Roseburg, if you ask me. And some of it, not all of it, includes what just finished concluding, that That is our evangelistic meetings. Amen? Amazing things happen during that time span. I mean, for starters, we had baptisms, and not just baptisms that happened last Sabbath, but praise God that there's baptisms on the way. We have a tentative another baptismal date of June 1st, so mark that on your calendar, because baptismal candidates are already at different times, not all at the same time. And who knows, maybe July, who knows, maybe August will have other baptismal services as well. But that's not the only thing that I was so blessed to be a witness of. I was so blessed to witness revival happening in our church. I mean, we have many of our own members who are currently contemplating rebaptism. Why? Because they want to be right with God. They don't want to put this decision off any longer. They want to move forward now, not tomorrow. And here's the reality of this revival in our church. Unless it happens in our lives, we won't be leading anyone to Jesus. Which leads me to ask, who are we leading to Jesus this year? And if we can't answer that question like that, then maybe I'm needing some revival myself. Would you like to lead someone to Jesus? There's nothing sweeter than leading someone to Jesus. And God uses us in the gifts that He's given us to do just that. Maybe God gives us gifts so that we can bake a loaf of bread and lead somebody to Jesus, Diane. Or maybe somebody is blessed by the quilt that we put together, Margie. Or maybe there's things unbeknownst to the rest of us that God is not saying, hey, what are you doing with that for Jesus? Because whatever God gives us is for His glory. Would you like to lead someone to Jesus? And if my answer to this question is a no, then guess who needs revival? I do. Who needs a new experience with Jesus? I do. Because you could be tempted to think, well, at least they're going to church. At least I'm going to church. Isn't that what really matters? Isn't that all that matters? Well, guess what? It's not enough that we just simply came to church. Of which, if this is the first time that you've come to church here today, we're so glad you came. But if we are a regular, if we're used to coming here, and we're simply coming here, guess what? That's not enough. It's time for business to be unusual. That normal stuff? No. Because the normal is now not enough, I believe, in God's eyes. Question, church family. When did the church in antiquity explode? Oh, that's right, Pentecost. That's when it exploded. And that was, according to my unofficial calculations, 2,000 years ago. Pentecost, church exploding 2,000 years ago, and now it's 2019. Maybe we've lost the fire that was back then? My question is, have I had that fire? Me? Have I had that fire? Because I believe that God wants us to have that fire again. What prepared them for Pentecost? Well, I'll tell you what prepared them. Number one, their faith in Christ. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. But that's not all that they believed. That's not all that prepared them for Pentecost. But they put their trust in the sure word of prophecy. Why? Because what were these angels talking to them about? This same Jesus will come back in like manner. And so as they're hearing the sure word of prophecy from the mouths of these angels, this is part of their Pentecost preparation. So let's go to a little Pentecost school. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Verse 12, then returned they unto where? Jerusalem, from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of James. Why were they in the upper room? Two reasons. They're back in the upper room because some of them are chicken. No, seriously. They're there because some of them, if they were out and about in Jerusalem, would have been seen, and some could have thought, oh, these are some of Jesus's guys. We killed him. You guys are up next. So before they got to the 12, some of them did a little hiding in the upper room. But I praise God, because that wasn't the case with all the disciples. There were some of them that were actually waiting for Jesus' second coming and the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus said would happen when they went back to Jerusalem. But you know, I reckon we may have the same dilemma in 2019. Some of us here could be chicken about telling others about Jesus. But some of us here are pleading for the promise of the Spirit and the needed preparation for the final proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we prepare to receive him when he comes again. My question is, what group are you in? What group am I in? Because before Pentecost, there's some interesting details about these guys called the disciples. For starters, they were chicken. And for seconds, they were proud and competitive. Lord, when you come in your glory, can I sit on your right hand and can I sit on your left hand? Who's getting the glory? They were competitive and proud. They were impatient with others. Ears flying all over the place. Peter's, make sure you keep the weapons away from Peter. But not just that, they were impotent. The church was impotent. Boy, they were really needing the Holy Spirit, if you ask me. Or could we be needing the Holy Spirit today? I take that a step further. We need the Holy Spirit exponentially more than the 12 prior to Pentecost. Let's go back to Pentecost school. The Bible says that they were in the upper room, but not just that. They continued in one accord, and they unitedly kept on praying. And they didn't stop praying, even if the Holy Spirit had already started to descend. You think we could be tempted to think that the Holy Spirit is done his work in our church and in our lives? No, he's just scratching the surface. Check this out. The days of preparation were days of deep heart searching. The disciples felt their spiritual need and cried to the Lord for the holy unction that was to fit them for the work of what? For the work of what? Soul saving. So get this. They're coming together and they're realizing their need of God and the Holy Spirit in their lives, because there's a power that they realize they don't have to tell others about Jesus. And that what was motivated and drove them to pray. It continues to read, they did not ask for a blessing for themselves merely. They were weighted with the burden of the salvation of souls. They realized that the gospel was to be carried to the world, and they claimed the power that Christ had promised. What was that power? The power of the Holy Spirit. So, when did the Holy Spirit come? Oh, that's easy, Pastor. It was at Pentecost. Really? Look at this. The Spirit came upon the waiting, what? Praying disciples. I wonder what would have happened if they weren't waiting and if they weren't praying. There's no Pentecost, folks. The Spirit came upon the waiting, praying disciples with a fullness that reached every heart. They grasped the imparted gift, and what followed? The sword of the Spirit, newly edged with power and bathed in the lightnings of heaven, cut its way through unbelief. Thousands were converted in a day. So they're gathered together praying, realizing that they need the Holy Spirit, because some of them are chicken and some of them are not. Nonetheless, they are praying in the upper room. And as they are praying, the Holy Spirit comes down and something happens with this book. Now this book is what they use to proclaim the risen and soon to come Savior. I wonder if there's some sharpening that needs to happen with my Bible. I wonder if there's a little timidity in my life about telling others about Jesus, when God has promised not a spirit of fear, but of power. What happened to the 12 after Pentecost? Well, here's an interesting thing. You could have thought, you know, maybe they all went home after Pentecost. Maybe they just all packed up and said, I'll see you next Sabbath. Bye. I'll pray for you. What happened after Pentecost? The Bible's very clear according to Acts chapter 2. In verse 1, they stayed together praying. But the Holy Spirit had already descended. No, they stayed praying together. And they moved from the upper room to the lower room. What's the lower room? The lower room was where the people were at to tell them about Jesus. What else happened after Pentecost? Well, they spoke in different languages. Not this gibberish that many in the evangelical world think is speaking in tongues. No, they spoke with intelligible languages that was clearly understood and received the gospel of Jesus Christ. What else happened after Pentecost? Well, they preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened after Pentecost? They preached about Jesus and prophecy. And that is critical these days, church family. Because we could be tempted to think that all we need to preach about is Jesus. And Jesus is important and necessary and critical. But if it's not Jesus and prophecy, my Bible tells me in Daniel chapter 2 that there's a stone coming to hit the image at the feet. That's prophecy. And my Bible tells me that that stone is Jesus' second coming. And I don't know about you, but that hasn't happened yet. But it will happen. Amen. They preached about Jesus and prophecy. I mean, Peter's talking about what Joel was talking about in the latter days. And last but not least, they preached leading people towards baptism. Church family, is that what we're doing? Because I believe God wants this to happen in our church today. You remember this day? April 4th of this year. If you're wondering, it was a Thursday. How do I know? Because that was the day before our evangelistic meeting started. What was April 4th? Well, that was when everything was normal. That was when, before coming again and again and praying and many things happened. You see, during these evangelistic meetings, I noticed some things. Just my little reckonings. I noticed that there was amazing support by the church family to come to these meetings. 21 meetings lasted at least 3 and some odd weeks. Sometimes 2 meetings on a Sabbath. Such dedication. And, you know, some things dawned on me. Let me tell you some things I saw. That's not what we saw, but yet we saw it. On April 6th, we had our International Food Festival. How many of you were there? Mm-hmm. If you were there, was it good? Man, that was no hesitation. Wow. I mean, we had so much food. Mountains of food. I'd never seen so much food at the BLC. And not only the quantity, but the quality of the food. Great food, a lot of food. And not just that, it was the amount of people of our church family that chose to participate in this event. You had the regulars who go to our fellowship lunch. But guess what? You had many who are not regulars to our fellowship lunch that were there as well. And it caused me to ask the question, what if our fellowship lunch was something that we were more purposeful about? I mean, if our normal practice is not to go to our fellowship lunch, why not make a decision to go once a month? That's a step forward. I mean, that'd be 12 times a month. But I'll take that a step further. What if once a quarter we went out of our way to prepare a Sabbath so that from beginning to end, including our fellowship lunch, was focused on inviting and welcoming guests at this place? You think it'd make a difference? Let me tell you. One of our guests to our prophecy meetings, I made a dish that was from her homeland, but she didn't come to the International Food Festival. So I made sure I put aside a little dish for her. And let me tell you, she said, Pastor, the way you made it is how my mama used to make it. It was so good. How do you do that? I said, well, if I told you, I have to kill you. No, I didn't tell her that. But what would happen if we were just a little bit more purposeful? We touch hearts. That's what happens. That's not the only thing I observed. But during these evangelistic meetings, there was, before every evening meeting, prayer going on where? That's right, you showed me over here. Right there in the chapel. Prayer for the reception of truth and the proclamation of truth, but prayer during the message, but also after the message, night by night, Pete would come and pray over here, and people would be prayed for as well. But I wonder, what would happen if Sabbath morning we got here just a little earlier, not some program, but just you and God, you came and the first thing you did was talk to God in prayer in his house of prayer. But not just that. What would happen if we were attentive to praying for people instead of just hearing their problems? How about lifting them up to the Savior and praying together before worship service, after worship service? I wonder what would happen. That's not the only thing I noticed. One of the fruits of our prophecy meetings is that many people have made decisions for baptism. And these decisions require the study of God's Word. And, you know, you might be wanting to help out in the teaching, in getting people ready for baptism. If that is the case, let me know. I have some names for you. Or maybe you're not at that point to lead out, but you wouldn't mind being mentored and shown the ropes of how to do it. Talk to me as well. I have a place for you. But let's pause for a moment. Is there a Bible study that happens on a weekly study on a weekly basis at this place? Yes, there is. What's it called? It's called Sabbath School. Sabbath School is a Bible study, so to speak. When was the last time we invited someone to Sabbath School? You see, Sabbath School used to be one of the most evangelistic tools. And it doesn't have to be something in the past tense. As people are getting ready for baptism, they are to be three things. Do you remember what those things were? Taught, they are to believe, and they are to repent. These are three requisites for baptism. And as these decisions have been made during these evangelistic meetings, I was so moved to see how people are making life-changing decisions. I mean, decisions that if I were to say, have you considered making this decision? It could offend them. But they themselves are saying, Pastor, I need some changes in my life. And this has got to go. And by the grace of God, he's going to give me the strength. And these decisions are happening. Something started last night. What started last night? I'll give you a clue. Family. Oh, that's right, groups. And our family groups, we had some delicious food last night, amen? And not just that, we were able to sing and to pray. We even laughed and had a good time. and we got into the Word of God. And when does that happen? Fridays at 6 p.m. And for our next week, we're meeting at the BLC, the Better Living Center. You see, this is a time that we're getting ready to grow. We're getting ready to move. Our church is on the cusp to take strides that we never thought imaginable. There is an underlying question beneath all that I've been sharing with you today that has to deal with moving forward. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. It is by praying. Could there be a service held at our church that is specifically and purposely set aside for prayer? Oh, that's right. It's prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. If we came for 21, give or take, nights over 3.5 weeks, do you think that maybe we can come to prayer meeting? Now, I ask that a question again. If we came for 3.5 weeks, 21 sessions to this place, do you think that maybe we can come to prayer meeting? That's right. But you see, there's a problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. Well, 2 weeks ago, our baby started eating solid foods. You see, before then, feeding was just fine and dandy. Why? Because she's bottle fed and get the bottle ready, good to go. But now that they're solid foods, there's something that she's learned to do. It's called this. And you know, we do what we need to do. Say, do all that we can so that they finally open their mouths and the food finally goes in. But what am I getting at? Just as the baby may not be so willing to open her mouth. Why? Because she doesn't want to. And sometimes we don't want to. I just talked about prayer meeting, and you're thinking, am I going, am I not going? I'm not sure I want to. You see, when I say I don't want to go to prayer meeting, I'm not wrestling with an invitation given by some preacher. I'm wrestling with God. Why? Because we are told the Holy Spirit descended as the apostles were doing what? Praying. Okay? When I tell God that I don't want to do what he wants me to do, I'm making war against the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, there are some of us that simply, health-wise, can't make it to prayer meeting. And I recognize that. But let me tell you, the majority can. How do I know? I saw you during the evangelistic meetings. At least nightly, we had, give or take, 100 church members at our evangelistic meetings. What would happen if we had 100 people at prayer meeting? Do you think there'd be some changes in our lives and in our church? I reckon there would. I don't want to go to fellowship lunch. I don't want to pray more. I don't want to give Bible studies. I don't want to go to family groups. The Holy Spirit is asking us, are you willing? I'd like to tell us, church family, that there is a new normal. What is the new normal? The new normal is what the disciples and the early church experienced after Pentecost. That is the new normal that I believe God wants for us today. What is the new normal in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47? Verse 41 tells us there was 3,000 people baptized in a day. That's the new normal. And so when I say, by the grace of God, we'll have 30 baptisms this year, well, guess what? That's two zeros missing. Right? Okay. What's the new normal? They stayed together in the Word, eating and praying, verse 42. What's the new normal? Wonders were being done by the apostles. It's time wonders are done for God's glory in this place. What's the new normal? They stayed together and shared their things. What's the new normal? They stayed together seeking the Holy Spirit. It's not, oh, prayer meeting's over, bye. It's not, oh, church worship service is over, bye. No, they stayed praying for the Holy Spirit. And last but not least, the church grew daily. Not monthly, not weekly, daily, my Bible says. The lapse of time has wrought no change in Christ's parting promise to send the Holy Spirit as his representative. It is not because of any restriction on the part of God that the riches of his grace do not flow earthward to men. If the fulfillment of the promise is not seen as it might be, it is because the promise is not appreciated as it should be. If all were what? If all were what? Willing, all would be filled with the Spirit. Wherever the need of the Holy Spirit is a matter little thought of, there is seen spiritual drought, spiritual darkness, spiritual declension, and death. Whenever minor matters occupy the attention, the divine power which is necessary for the growth and prosperity of the church and which would bring all other blessings in its train is lacking, though offered in infinite plenitude. When was the last time we as a church board stopped and pled for the Holy Spirit? I believe that time has come. Jesus said, if you who are evil give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Is it time for business to be unusual? Not just, oh, I hope the whole church does. Well, guess what? Who's the church? You're the church. I'm the church. It's time that business is unusual with the person I see in the mirror. It's time that business be unusual as you, as husband and wife. It's time that in our families, things become unusual as we pray together and seek God's presence to do his will in these last days. I believe God will be leading you to lead someone to Jesus. That's my desire. How about you? You see, the closing hymn that we'll sing today talks about lead on, O King Eternal. But how is our eternal King going to lead us if I don't want to? May God's Holy Spirit give me, give you, give us the desire to want what he wants today. May God grant us his Spirit.
Our hymn of dedication, which is hymn number 619, Lead on, O King Eternal, and let's sing all three stanzas, please.
Thank you, Father, because you have promised Jesus. He came just as you said he would, when he would, and soon he shall come again. But Father, before he comes back, there's a work that needs to happen in our lives, a work that your Holy Spirit is longing to do. And Father, I pray that our hearts might be pricked this day, that as the apostles recognize their need, may we realize how much we need you. May we realize not just how much we need you, but how you would like to use us to lead someone to Jesus. Father, may we be willing. May you change our desires. And may we move forward by faith as you do wonders in our lives and in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.